This is listener-supported public radio. You are tuned to KBBI Homer, AM 890. The time is 9.02 a.m. Have you lost, Doug Wiklosky, have you lost your audio?
No, I got it.
Okay. So this is the regular Thursday COVID brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and Doug Wiklosky, principal of Homer High School, is here. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's see. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, are you on the line?
I am. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you. And Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services in the Homer Public Health Center. Good morning.
Hi, team. Kathleen, you're loud and clear.
Great. And Jenny Carroll, spokesperson and information officer for the City of Homer. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone.
All right, we are all assembled. Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District may be calling us later in the half hour, but I just wanted to clarify, the Principal Wiklosky even said the same thing. Last night on KBBI's evening news, we, with permission, reported that there were still a few spots to get for the first dose for the waiting list for tomorrow's vaccine clinic. But Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, you can confirm those are full now, aren't they?
Indeed they are. So we had 97 appointments remaining from last weekend's first dose clinic. And when that clinic ended and we saw we had 97 doses, we continued to make those available all week on the website for the existing eligible tier. And then when, as of yesterday morning, we only had about 30 of those remaining. And when the state announced without very much warning, when they announced that we were moving into the next tier, we all quickly agreed that rather than creating a stampede of 2,000 for 30 spots, we would just go ahead and let those appointments be on the web, and they filled up quickly just with folks popping on to see if there was any availability. So as of right now, the hospital has no available appointments or vaccine in the immediate pipeline.
And if anyone has questions, they can call 235-7721. You can leave your question, or you can go to air with it, or you can email info@kbbi.org. Either way can get your question in. But I have one already in my mailbox that says, when will the next dose of vaccine arrive? So I guess that's everybody's question. Nurse Lauren, Dorotha, Jenny, who can take that?
I can let you know what's happening in the hospital world. So we did learn that the state had close to 9,000 unused doses that had not been assigned appointments yet. That was about a week ago. And that was part of what they call the February allocation. The state pretty much rules things out by monthly allocation. And so they announced to the statewide providers who are enrolled to be vaccine providers, they announced that those doses were available. So we did apply for as many as possible of those, and we are waiting to hear how many are assigned to us. And so we're hoping to hear that sometime this week, but until we know how many, if any, and how many are assigned to us, then we are unable to make those available. And then as far as March goes, the March allocation, we do expect to hear that by early next week. And the minute that we hear how many we expect in March, then we'll be able to set up the according appointments and events to distribute those in March.
Also, people should know that if you are, say, a patient of SVT Health and Wellness, that you should contact them now that you're eligible to get on their lists when they have available vaccine. Also, Safeway, I hear, still has some. And Principal Wiklosky, did you say McNeil?
Somebody just talked to me about this morning. I don't have the actual information on that.
Okay. So. Well, I'll ask if Peggy calls in. But Principal Wiklosky, the question I have for you in my email is, when are people allowed to go to games again, and what's the status right now on activities?
So right now, you know, obviously our numbers have come down a lot, and we have all of our students in the building who want to be in the building. But we're still working under high mitigation levels because we want to keep that way. You know, we did have one case that came into the building, but luckily only two people because of our high mitigation. Only two students had to stay home and isolate for a week, and nobody caught it. And that's what we want to have happen. So sports, there were a lot of questions on whether we would have sports and we can do it safely. So right now, it's still, there are spectators allowed, but each athlete gets two spectators. You know, those are usually their parents, but they can choose the two. They have to be on the list to come in. So, you know, our limit right now in our gym is about 70 to 90 spectators total. We have to stay, you know, 10 feet away from the athletes. Everybody has to wear masks and all that. So those things are still in place right now. And obviously we're looking at it just like everybody else. We're looking at the data. And as things, you know, as we feel that it's safe, we will do it. The one thing to realize is that Matsu was doing a similar thing as us, but they were not wearing masks. They had to close 10 schools and they stopped sports for a week because they had some transmission of cases between students.
Masking works.
Yes. So, and a matter of fact, we have a state hockey tournament coming up right now, and ASA has mandated masks for that, or they were going to have to cancel it. So those are all things that we take into consideration with that. And so right now we're keeping our high mitigation practices because we want to keep the kids in the building and playing sports.
And how many kids are at learning from home right now, as opposed to how many kids are attending in person at Homer High School?
We're a little bit higher. I think we're like 65, 70 kids. And before we were right at 60. So there's a few more that are remote now than they were before. But it's fairly close to
okay.
what it was before.
Mm-hmm. Can you hang around for a little bit?
Absolutely.
Okay, jump in at any time. Nurse Lauren Carroll, I have a question in my mailbox about vaccine efficacy. And I know that Councilmember Smith was asking about this at the city council meeting as well. So I think it's time to talk about how effective the vaccine can be. I heard you say something at Monday's meeting that I hadn't heard you say before, that the having had the virus is about that you predict it to be about 3 months worth of immunity. But what is the immunity that you get? Is there any information on how long the vaccine lasts? And then we can talk a little bit about the other reasons why, about taking stress off of healthcare workers and that sort of thing. But why is the vaccine what you want to get when you're eligible?
Sure. Thanks for that. Bringing that question back up, you know, all of the information is evolving. We know that, and that's going to be a given for the foreseeable future. But when considering this simple question, which is the best approach to, say, like, be infected or get the vaccine, then clearly the best option there is to get the vaccine. Now, there's a lot of other variables there, like simply doing your best to stay away from the virus is a good way to prevent getting the virus and disease from the virus. But there's also a lot of terminology in here that kind of makes it very easy to confuse things. But immunity itself simply means protection from an infectious disease. So if you're immune from a disease, if you're exposed, you can't be infected. So if you do get the disease and you recover from it, CDC thinks that from a broad population perspective, most people are immune for about 3 months, and then it's unknown beyond that. But the vaccine is thought to be effective in preventing disease for much longer. So that brings me to the next kind of definition, is what is efficacy? You know, if you look at these studies of the vaccines and go down to the conclusions, they'll say something like, in conclusion, a two-dose regimen is conferred as 95% effective against preventing COVID-19. And so that's the last terminology piece I'll just highlight right now, is that COVID-19, what that literally means is the acute disease process that someone gets from the virus. So said differently, the vaccine is meant to prevent disease. It's not known to prevent the host being able to transmit the virus to other folks.
Thanks, Nurse Lorne. And also, I did give you a heads up on this question. Can you, based on state data, officially bust the lie that people are dying from taking the vaccine in Alaska? Do you, is there any data to report that, to support that?
Yeah, sure thing. You know, there's zero deaths in Alaska due to a COVID vaccine that I'm aware of. You know, this really hinges on something that we call health literacy in the world of public health. And that really looks to measure, you know, what's folks' ability to obtain, read, you know, and understand information to use it in the best way possible. And there are a countless number of quality assurance measures in our interconnected system from the federal government, state government, and organizationally that look to secure the safety of folks. So what that would look like if that were to happen would be probably very prompt notification via like a press release. And kind of the overall objective there as the local public health system would work on that would be, number one, to assure that everyone's safe. And number two, to answer the question, was this unfortunate death caused by the vaccine, or was it only related, as in it happened around the same time?
Thanks, Nurse Lorne. And Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, there are expected side effects to getting the vaccine for some people. Can you go over with what people would expect or might expect to experience as mild symptoms?
You bet. In doing that, Kathleen, I do want to comment on the effective rate for preventing laboratory confirmed COVID-19 illness of the Moderna vaccine. So the Moderna is what we have been giving recently in the mass vaccine clinics. And based on evidence from the clinical trials, Moderna vaccine was 94% effective at preventing laboratory confirmed COVID-19 illness in people who received two doses and had no evidence of being previously infected. And so that's a pretty high rate. You know, that's pretty good odds that you're not going to get sick if you get the vaccine. So as far as side effects from getting the Moderna, especially, some of the expected things immediately are a sore arm. That's very common that that same day or the next day that folks experience soreness at the site of injection. And then some of the other things include fatigue, headache, muscle pain, joint pain, chills. Those are all things that are your immune system activating that, oh, we see this coming into our system and we're activating our abilities to fight it. And so they're kind of similar to if you were to actually get sick. All of the reports so far locally are that they are gone by the next day. We've had very few, actually I don't know of any people that were beyond a day, except for the arm situation. And the injection site reaction does tend to be last a little, does last longer.
Thanks, Dorotha Ferraro. And Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer, I wanted to find out the status of the call lines that the city is operating. First, there's the COVID information line, but then the city was helping people who needed help registering for vaccine. What's the status on all of that?
That phone number is still active. It is 435-3188. When we're not actively signing people up for a clinic, that number has a recorded message for anyone who needs information about upcoming allocations and sign-up periods. So at this point, if you were to call it, it would say, currently we don't have any appointments for a mass vaccine clinic. Please call back. And but when we have the initial sign-up for a new pod. We have operators standing by, and we have a little queue line so that we can handle calls from people who need assistance to sign up for an appointment. So, for instance, yesterday when we learned that the new tier was opening up, we activated that line, and I actually answered it from my office, and we got several calls. Most people were able to sign themselves up, but they were mainly calling with questions about eligibility and availability of appointments. So that phone line is active. It's not always actively staffed if we don't have an active sign-up going on.
Okay.
The other number that you can call would be 235-0235, which is the hospital's call line. But we really want to have that alternate number available because we can take several callers at a time when we open up a new tier for eligibility.
Thanks. That's Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer. I have two questions. One is, when someone wants to know, should I register at the State of Alaska site or should I wait and register at SPH for the next group of vaccines? So should I go to, I am now eligible. Should I go to the State of Alaska website and see about what's available, or should I wait until SPH has another clinic coming up, or Incident Command has another clinic coming up, and register then through SPH's website?
So here are a couple options. So it's super interesting to go to the covidvax.alaska.gov, and when you click on Find a Vaccine Provider, and you have to scroll a little bit. So don't, like, when you first click on that, it's like, okay, boring, nothing here for me. Scroll a little bit, scroll a little bit, scroll a little bit. And you get down to this Alaska COVID-19 Vaccine Available Appointments area. And if you put your town in, if you type your town in search, then anybody who's using what is called a PrepMod software, their vaccines will show up in there. There are some Peninsula providers who use the PrepMod software, Fred Meyers, trying to think who else. So there are a few, especially pharmacies, that use it. At this point, the hospital does not. We've heard it loud and clear from the community that that particular software collects a lot of information that slows down the appointment making process. And so we have chosen at this moment to use just a real simple version of an appointment process. As a result of that, we won't show up on that list, but we will show up over on a map. So if you click the map of providers, we do show up there. Now, to get to your answer, we don't have a list. We don't keep a registration. So there's no way to register here, and then we call you when there's an appointment. If the state has that, I'm unaware of that. So that was the beginning of your question. So if you can show me or tell me that the state offers that service, please do, because then I'll make sure that I'm connected, that the hospital's connected with them. But I am unaware of that service at all. It's just a check the website every couple of days to see when we get our next big shipment, and then you'll we will give plenty of advance notice on when the vaccines will become available, the appointments will become available, and then you'll get to those appointments either through the hospital website or through the city staffed call line.
Next from email.
So I have
Go ahead, Jenny.
Yeah, I just wanted to let people know there is a handy tool on the COVIDVax website. So if there's a lot of new eligibility out there, and it's pretty detailed, and you may be wondering, am I a critical infrastructure person? Am I work in the school, but I'm not sure if I qualify, you know, because there are requirements that people are working frontline, so you're within 6 feet of someone as a part of your job. So one of the nice things on the state website is an eligibility quiz. So when you go to that site and you're questioning your eligibility, go there and you can take that quiz and know whether you're eligible or not.
Also, after we finish speaking this morning about 9:30, I will be doing the full ceremonial reading of Phase 1B, Tier 2, so that I can give the whole thing. It's pretty long.
That's about an hour show,
take?
Isn't it?
We've got time. Now, I don't have any questions left in the queue, so I'm going to go to Nurse Lorne and Dorotha to find out. First, Dorotha, I do have one about tomorrow. Is the second dose clinic for tomorrow still set to go? And is that Friday and Saturday or just Friday?
This is a two-day clinic, Friday and Saturday. There will be 715 second dose appointments that are already full, and there will be 97 first dose appointments that are already full. So this will end up being our largest event yet. We will do over 800 doses this weekend.
Thanks so much. That's Dorotha Ferraro. I've been meaning to check in, so I'm going to check in with you, Dorotha, and also with Principal McCloskey on how is the health of your staff. Dorotha, at the hospital, how are people, is everybody healthy?
Well, so far, so good. I just checked with employee health office this morning, and they said we only have one person out related to COVID, so that's great. And, you know, folks' spirits and emotional wellness, it gets a little taxing sometimes. I know for a lot of staff to deal with all of the masking and the frustration in not being able to interact with people closely without having all the protective gear on and everything. But I will say that it is super helpful right now, having the days noticeably grow longer with sunshine. The snow on the ground makes it so much brighter, and spirits are definitely improving. So thank you for asking.
Thanks. And Principal McCloskey, how's the health of the staff?
As far as I know, we've had no cases within our staff, either in school or out of school. So,
all right, gold star.
So as far as that's good. But, you know, again, like with Dorotha, the social emotional, you know, when we found out that we were eligible, it was kind of like a feeding frenzy.
Did you hear a great cheer come up through the school?
There are definitely people who, mm-hmm. you know, they're a little stressed out, and they, you know, they want to get vaccinated as fast as they can, at least most of them. So we're excited to hear that at least we're eligible, even if there aren't any appointments available right now yet. But.
And I have a question for Jenny Carroll about Alaska Housing Finance Corp has a new set of applications they're getting ready to release. And I wanted to know if the city has information on that.
Yes.
Or if they are. Go for it, Jenny Carroll.
Well, good. I wanted to talk about this, so I'm glad you asked. Just yesterday, I was in a meeting with AHFC and other housing folks around the state, and in the last federal COVID-19 relief bill, Alaska received about $200 million for rent relief to be distributed around the whole state. So this is very similar to the program that AHFC did last summer, and similar to the program that the city of Homer offered to Homer residents with our own CARES Act funds. But this is now a new program. It's for rent relief in 2021, and you would apply through Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. So you would go to www.alaskahousingrelief.org. That's alaskahousingrelief.org. The application period will open February 16th. But if you go to the website now, you can go to their online eligibility tool and check your eligibility. And if you meet the criteria, I believe you'll be invited to pre-register for the application period when it opens. So if you've pre-registered, AHFC will email you directly on February 16th with the next steps.
And is this dependent on whether or not you've gotten relief? Uh-oh, did I lose you, Jenny Carroll? Okay, we'll try to get Jenny Carroll back. Oh, wait, maybe she's back now. Jenny Carroll, are you there? Log in again, Jenny, and we will give it a try. She got cut off, but I'll get more information about those new applications to you as soon as possible. Next question is from email. If the governor's disaster declaration does not get extended, does anyone on the panel know what ways will that impact our local COVID-19 mitigation programs? So, Dorotha, can you speak to that?
Yeah, Kathleen, this list could be as long as the eligibility list.
Okay.
There are so many measures that we are operating under as a state, as a healthcare entity, as businesses, as government. There are so many measures that we're following right now that are very specific to this emergency declaration. For an example, prior to COVID, the ability to offer and bill for telemedicine was pretty specific, unique. You had to jump through a lot of hoops. Only certain specialties were qualified in the state of Alaska. As soon as COVID hit, all of a sudden, all of those, all the red tape, if you will, became just one little piece of pink tape, and you just filled out a form, and boom, you were permitted to offer it. So that's an example of just the kind of thing that without the emergency declaration, we go back to the slow, less opportunity, ability to function. And so it's everything from the ability to offer and mandate testing as you come into the state, to the ability to fast track somebody's medical license, as the state was seeing the need for more medical capacity. Sometimes in the olden days, pre-COVID, that could take months. And during the emergency declaration, that was really fast tracked. Those are just some examples, but there's dozens, if not hundreds, of ways that the emergency declaration mobilized the response. And without that, it goes back to not having those systems.
So we'll have lots of questions to ask about that. What I've just determined is that the power went out, which is probably why Jenny Carroll got disconnected. Jenny, are you back?
I am back. I just looked down at my phone and I was disconnected. So I don't know how much you heard of me, but boy, did I sound good here.
Oh, yeah, well, you sounded great here, except that we lost you about halfway through. My question is, if a person has already received aid from Alaska Housing Finance Corporation in the last round, are they eligible again?
Yes, they are. So did you hear the eligibility criteria?
I don't think so.
Okay. The eligibility criteria is that it's only for renters, not for homeowners who are struggling with mortgage. The household income can be no more than 80% of area median income. At least one person has to be directly or indirectly financially.
Oh, there she goes again. Oh, wait, she's back. I'm watching her digital signature flutter back and forth. So
actually impact.
So I'm just gonna say goodbye to Jenny and cut her off a second time, because we are at the end of our regular COVID brief. Principal Wachlowski, is there anything that you'd like to add today? Thanks so much for coming in.
Well, I just got the eligibility form, and I'm signing up for, I guess there is a clinic.
You're doing it right here and now.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm doing it right now, so I'm signing up for my vaccination, hopefully at the McNeil Canyon one this weekend. So.
And that's a clinic for educators and support staff?
For anyone who is eligible right now.
So, McNeil Canyon, when?
I don't have it. It's this weekend, and probably I'm still filling it out, so.
Okay. And I will we'll look after that and make sure to let people know about how to sign up. And Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, any final comments from you?
You bet. Thanks. Two things. One, because of the lower COVID rates, we are at what is called minor risk level for visitation. So if somebody is hospitalized, they are here to have a baby, they are permitted to visitors. But our long-term care does remain closed to visitation at this time. Also, one important thing, we've added a lot of resources to the hospital website to give information to people as they make decisions on whether to get vaccinated or not. And if you go to the hospital website on the right-hand side, there's a FYI area. And we have a nice video there that is how mRNA vaccines work. And both of the vaccines that we've been offering are both mRNA vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna. And so it's a video that explains how that works. And then there's the fact sheet for Moderna and Pfizer. So it just gives people a little more information in making their decision to set their appointment. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And Nurse Lauren Carroll, anything you need to get out to people today?
Oh, maybe I'll just check in about how staff are doing at Homer Public Health Center. You know, the four of us are doing pretty well. It's been a little challenging to take a break, to say the least, but we're learning a lot. And the thing that's been unique about COVID-19 from a Homer Public Health Center perspective is that one of the challenges is that we're routinely doing about 1 to 3 different roles at the same time. But in that the challenge, I think it's really not only learning, but it's increasing our, you know, kind of resilience factors. But otherwise, we're kind of, as we're responding to COVID, we're also thinking about how COVID is impacting some folks differently than others. So we're already working on what those community health impact measures might look like as COVID continues to open up and beyond. So anyhow, thanks a lot for working with us as we're reaching the kind of 1 year mark we're looking at celebrating. We've come a long way.
Thanks so much. That's Nurse Lauren Carroll. And Jenny Carroll, I keep losing you. So I'm going to get with you later about the AHFC information, and we will get it out to people for the news.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Thanks a lot. And Principal McCloskey, thanks for this information. If you... The email says, KPBSD staff members in Live Out East End, there is a COVID vaccine clinic tomorrow, February 12th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Kisa Fire Station near McNeil Canyon School. Looks like info, 235-INFO, 235-4636. Thanks, Principal McCloskey.
Thanks for having me.
For that, you really came with the update. And this has been the regular Thursday COVID brief. Thanks to Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer, Nurse Lauren Carroll, Public Health Nurse for Homer Public Health Center and the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, and Principal Doug McCloskey from Homer High School. The time is 9:34, and here I have in my hand the paper. Here is the latest tier, of course, Alaskans 65 years and above and healthcare workers and first responders are still eligible if they haven't been vaccinated. However, the latest tier is K through 12 education workers, regardless of age, and all support staff, custodial, food service, transportation, childcare workers and support staff, and Indigenous language and culture bearers. Alaskans aged 50 and over who have a high-risk medical condition or an essential job around others. Frontline essential workers, 50 and older, who work within 6 feet of others, including law enforcement, public safety, first responders, food and agriculture workers, transportation and logistics workers, water, wastewater, and utility workers. Also eligible, people living in congregate settings, for example, acute psychiatric facilities, correctional facilities, group homes for individuals with disabilities, homeless and domestic violence shelters, substance abuse and treatment residential facilities, and transitional living homes. So if you have a healthcare provider, say SVT Health and Wellness, or you get your healthcare often through the VA, then contact your regular healthcare provider and keep watching the State of Alaska website. to see when vaccine clinics open in your area. And we'll keep you updated every Tuesday and Thursday, and as details emerge here on the COVID Brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson.